We all heard the old saying that religion and politics don't mix. I strongly believe that since politics greatly affects our everyday lives and affects our world, we cannot simply leave our faith at the door when we leave our church building. To me, religion that is unwilling to leave the sanctuary is pretty much not any religion at all. Whenever fundamental moral principles are involved, our church must speak out about what our Lord and Savior has to say. I once gave a homily that included something a couple people thought was making a political statement. I received emails from both of them giving me a little grief about that. The most amazing and amusing part of this story is that one of them thought I was promoting the Democrats and the other thought I was promoting the Republicans. I guess that meant I was pretty well balanced. But I think that tells us something about our political climate today. But please know that anything that is said here is, and I hope always will be, is only to promote the teachings of Jesus Christ. But what exactly are the political questions which involve fundamental concerns? Is it abortion? Our involvement in Iraq and other countries overseas? Nuclear arms? Stem cell research, immigration, universal health care, welfare benefits, religious freedoms? Certainly it is all these things and so many, many more. In fact, I really can't think of any decisions that our politicians make that don't in some way contain an element of morality. And as we can see, things can become rather complex once we take our faith out of our church buildings and bring it into our families, our communities, and our world. Our first reading today introduces us to a very religious man who was severely condemned for his involvement in politics. His name is Amos, and the last thing on earth he wanted to be was a prophet. Basically, he was a simple shepherd and a gardener, and he much preferred tending his sheep and trees to telling people that God would have vengeance on them if they didn't repent. But God called him and said, "Go prophesy," and Amos did, as he was asked. I think when we hear the word prophet today, we tend to think of someone who predicts the future. But the true definition of an Old Testament prophet is not someone who tells the future, but is someone who tells the truth. Remember that Amos was a man of the countryside, not at all educated. The wealthy city folk considered him to be a country bumpkin, a peasant, someone they would normally pay no attention to at all. And when Amos entered the city, he was scandalized by what he saw. He saw the wealthy overfed and living in the lap of luxury, spending their time thinking up new ways to amuse themselves, often at the expense of the poor. He saw peasants burdened by overwhelming debt, being sold into slavery, for no other reason than that superiors could do it on a whim. And even more troubling, Amos saw these same glaring injustices compounded right in the temple itself. There he found prosperous worshipers rejoicing in their good fortune, which of course they interpreted as proof of their good standing in the eyes of God. In that time, there were many so-called prophets and priests who were in it only for the status and the lifestyle it offered them. These for-hire prophets and priests soothed the people's ears with sermons that affirmed their actions and assured them that they were good and holy people. Not unlike some of today's evangelists, televangelists, and preachers who amass large fortunes and seem to hang out only with the rich and powerful. So, as we can well imagine, when Amos prophesied against these injustices, his words were not exactly well received. In fact, Amaziah, one of the most powerful religious officials of the day, told him to get out of town, the faster the better, and don't come back again. Amos's message had officially been rejected. I think that's not at all a surprise. The message of Jesus Christ was also to be rejected again hundreds of years later, and is still rejected today in our world. In fact, in today's gospel, Jesus tells his disciples to shake the dust off their feet against anyone who will not receive them or their message. And in fact, the Gospel of Luke, Jesus even tells his disciples, "Woe to you when people speak well of you." Jesus was telling them that if you tickle people's ears with what they want to hear, you really are not proclaiming the true gospel. Rejection of our words about Christ is almost a certainty if we speak the truth. After all, what could be less popular than telling everyone that they're wrong, that they need to repent in order to go to heaven? Repentance, by Jesus' definition, means more than just regret for our sins. True repentance means a paradigm shift, a fundamental change of direction. Repentance means turning away from "it's all about me" to "it's all about God." It means putting God at the center of our lives and not somewhere else, way out on the fringe. So what do we have to turn away from in today's world? Is it consumerism, where we think that we can buy happiness amassing lots of stuff? Do we have to repent from hedonism, that mindless philosophy that says, if it feels good, then just go ahead and do it? Or maybe our selfishness that ignores the less fortunate, or the attitude that thinks our obligation to the poor can be met with a few bucks from our surplus, with no action to help them get out of their situation? Or maybe we need to repent of the idea that we are weak, and we can't fight money or power, or from thinking that our precious faith is only between us and our Heavenly Father. In the Gospel, Jesus speaks about unclean spirits. We need to think about one or some of those unclean spirits in our own lives, besides those I mentioned. For repentance does not begin somewhere else. It begins with you and me, right here and right now, every day of our lives. We all need to be standing up to the evil in our world, to the culture of death that seems to surround us. We must let our voices be heard, and we must take action to protect the innocent and correct injustices. You know, there's a saying that's often shared among deacons and priests and anyone who preaches God's word. It goes this way. It says, "We are called to afflict the comfortable and to comfort the afflicted." I believe in some way every Christian is called to do just that. Today, we are all called to be prophets, to speak the truth. Who among us might stand up and be the Amos in our time? Go forth, become a prophet, and remember, nothing is impossible for God.